Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Friday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Members of the House of Delegates are considering a bill that would remove the last remaining Confederate statues in Capitol Square. Michael Pope has this story.
A statue honoring Confederate General Stonewall Jackson is so close to the House chamber, you can see it from the windows of the Capitol. For now, anyway, that won't be the case if the House approves a Senate bill to remove it, along with two other statues honoring the lost cause. Delegate Lee Ware is a Republican from Powhatan who says lawmakers should not erase history.
Studying this era is vitally important for our children of all races. Precisely because it was a complicated and tragic, and therefore a great era in our shared history.
Complicated? Delegate Michelle Maldonado is a Democrat from Prince William who took to the floor to respond.
It is offensive, as an African-American woman in this chamber, to hear people say that history's complicated. Yeah, it's complicated. But let's be clear that the complication isn't because people who look like me helped people who didn't look like me enslave my people, be brutal with my people, rape my people.
The bill to remove the three Confederate statues from Capitol Square has already passed the Senate and is currently awaiting action in the House Rules Committee. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Both of Virginia's Democratic senators say they're trying to prevent a war with Iran. During a call with reporters Thursday, Mark Warner said the current regime in that country is a bad actor, that President Donald Trump needs to get congressional approval and make his case before the American people before engaging in any conflict.
Is it just the nuclear capabilities? Is it regime change? Is it simply support of our ally Israel? He's not made that case, and yet we have an awful lot of American sailors and airmen who are going to be in harm's way if action takes place.
Senator Tim Kaine has long stressed the need for any American president to receive congressional approval for any military conflict. He's continuing to advocate for a war powers resolution he introduced last month that would require any hostilities against Iran are explicitly approved by Congress. A vote on that resolution is expected in the coming days. Virginia may soon eliminate a tax break for data centers, which has some workers very concerned.
So this is a coveted industry around the country, and it's very important to us here in Virginia, so we ain't got to pack our bags and go travel to do this work we're doing right now.
We'll have more on that debate from Brad Kuttner up in a little bit. Virginia's last election put Democrats in control of the governor's mansion and the General Assembly, so organized labor thought home health care workers and university employees might finally get the right to collective bargaining. Instead, both groups have been cut out of pending bills and are fighting to get back in, as Sandy Houseman reports.
Ian Mullins has been fighting for the right to bargain collectively since he took a teaching job at UVA. It's not a tenured post, so he makes a lot less than other sociologists in his department. He says many junior faculty members can't afford to live in Charlottesville.
They could commute up to an hour each way. UVA employees have had to take on second jobs, like overnight at Kroger, which not only is exhausting, but it also takes them away from their family, their neighborhood, and their community.
And they have no say on important work-related issues like class size. Andy Knightley works in facilities management. If fellow employees were eligible for collective bargaining, Knightley says, the university could have recovered more quickly from the latest weather emergency.
We were under-equipped for this storm. I heard one person describe it as scraping up glaciers. We could have told our managers exactly what it was that we needed, but we were left out of that.
Members of Virginia's House of Delegates cut university employees from a collective bargaining bill, and state senators removed home health care workers. Now, Mullins, Knightley, and other campus organizers are asking the public to weigh in to demand those groups be included when the House and Senate meet to iron out differences between their bills. A final vote on the issue must come before the session ends on March 14th. I'm Sandy Houseman.
Advocates are meeting Saturday in Blacksburg, Williamsburg, Fairfax, and Norfolk. Richmond is doubling the number of harm reduction vending machines dotted across the city. The expansion from 3 to 6 units follows a successful pilot effort in which the machines distributed more than 900 doses of naloxone and 1,200 first aid and hygiene items over 6 months. It's being funded through a grant from the Virginia Opioid Abatement Authority. The new units are expected to be operational sometime in the spring. A very popular hiking site along the Appalachian Trail in Roanoke County is getting more than $6 million in federal funding for parking and transit access upgrades. The funding will help address congestion and safety concerns at the McAfee Knob Trailhead, which sees more than 50,000 visitors each year. That will go towards an expanded parking area, waterless restrooms, and safer connections to the Route 311 trail bridge. The National Park Service is leading the design and construction. This winter, storms created rock-hard, ice-encrusted snow, shutting schools, businesses, and even government agencies. It also shut down watermen normally out harvesting seafood. Pamela D'Angelo has this story.
Was Tangier Island completely iced in during this period?
Yes. They've had a very hard winter.
It was recent brutal weather front and center during this month's meeting of the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. In January, a storm forced watermen to stay home and the commission to postpone their monthly meeting. In February, parts of the Chesapeake Bay region froze. People called VMRC with reports of frozen speckled trout washing up on shore. Frozen waters led to hardship requests, like one from the commercial gillnet fishery, asking for added fishing days to catch striped bass over 28 inches. Striped bass are strictly regulated, so the commission didn't act. But it was oystermen harvesting public grounds who were hit the hardest. Here's J.C. Hudgens of the Virginia Watermen's Association.
If you have a job, if you lose over 2 weeks a month out of your pay, it's definitely an emergency. It's gonna affect you.
The commission voted unanimously to extend the oyster season by emergency regulation to March 15th in certain areas of the Rappahannock River and the Chesapeake Bay. One note, oyster harvests were lower in one area on the Rappahannock River because so many adult oysters had baby oysters, or spat, attached to their shells. They had to be thrown back. From Hampton, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
Consumer sentiment in Virginia rebounded to start 2026. The new polling from Roanoke College saw numbers this month jump to their strongest point in more than a year. School officials say moderating inflation, steady wage growth, and a tighter state labor market are helping to boost confidence. Nearly a quarter of Virginians said their finances have improved over the last year. A proposal out of the Virginia Senate would roll back a more than 15-year-old data center tax break and raise billions in state revenue. But the data center industry, deeply entrenched in Virginia's economy thanks in part to that tax break, is calling on an unlikely ally in the fight to stop it. Brad Kuttner has this report.
The affordability for Virginians, it takes the savings back for them.
That's Senate President Louise Lucas speaking to reporters after she announced her plans to roll back a long-running tax break for Virginia's data center industry. Back in 2009, the legislature, seeing the opportunity for success on a business that relies on close proximity to one another, D.C., and an under-ocean internet cable that reaches land in Hampton Roads, said data centers wouldn't have to pay sales and use tax on the equipment in their facilities. Chris Lloyd is with the consulting firm McGuire Woods. At a data center business conference in Richmond last summer, he explained the sales tax exemption's history.
So the idea is, why would you want to tax the inputs to a final product? The same concept carried forward with the data center sales use tax exemption. Virginia was the first state to do that, and now I think we're up to 37 or 38 states which have now mimicked that.
Even last summer, Lloyd said the tax exemption was still important, especially as those other states adopted it. And part of the strategy to keep that carve-out feels unique because it relies on something corporations don't usually look to, union labor.
In 2016, we worked 14 million hours. Today, we worked 28 million hours in 2025.
That's Don Slayman, the political coordinator for IBEW Local 26, an electricians union in Northern Virginia. As the data center industry invested tens of billions in new buildings since 2009, his union's membership exploded. And the pay? Slayman said apprentice electricians make almost $30 an hour, journeymen make about $60, and they get benefits.
This industry here, from the get-go, has been responsive to workers, has been inclusive of trade unions. Because they are leased before they're built, it's all about time to market, and it's all about using skilled labor, getting the guts done properly from the get-go.
To that end, IBEW members packed into the General Assembly building recently to plead their case. Here's Jason Parker with IBEW, who's among those who fear reinstating the tax would see data centers leave.
So this is a coveted industry around the country, And it's very important to us here in Virginia, so we ain't got to pack our bags and go travel to do this work we're doing right now.
That data center departure fear is shared by localities who benefit from other taxes paid by the industry. According to Loudoun County's Board of Supervisors, which the largest concentration of data centers in the world calls home, changes to the tax exemption, quote, puts even more pressure on property owners through the local real estate tax and other revenue enhancements. That's likely because, according to the county's own numbers, they collected taxes on $17.3 billion worth of data center personal property or equipment, and even more in real property taxes considering the industry's local assessed land value of about $42 billion. There have been similar tax windfalls in other localities, including Prince William County, where a long-running data center expansion project has driven up local revenues but led to pushback from residents. Chief among opponents is Senator Danica Rome. Rome filed the sales tax rollback budget amendment Lucas is now championing.
They don't need that money. That's for money that we need for fixing roads and feeding kids.
Notably, about $300 million of the funds raised by ditching the tax break would be directed to roads in and around Rome's district. And Lucas, so far, isn't backing down. In a social media post Wednesday night, she compared the strength of her position to that of, quote, the three types of steel we used in the shipyard. Back in the early 70s, Lucas famously was the first female ship fitter at the Norfolk Naval Shipyard. To IBEW Slayman, that means something to the future of the data center industry and whatever happens to their tax break.
There's not an anti-union bone in Senator Lucas's body. We have full faith in Senator Lucas knows what she's up to.
But Lucas may not be swayed.
A lot of folks are saying that they're going to be leaving, going to other places. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think they will continue to build in Virginia, but I think that they understand it's going to be a different playing field now.
The future of the data center sales tax should be decided in the coming weeks. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Now we'll look at the forecast. Warmer headed into the weekend. We're starting out today with some clouds, then more sunshine. High temperatures in the lower 50s, mid-50s for much of the region, around 60 for the Bristol area. Tonight, partly cloudy for most, more clearing in the far southwest, and lows drop to the upper 30s. Sunny Saturday, warmer conditions, highs in the low 60s to near 68 for Roanoke. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.